Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to hear from you today. We'd like you to be a part of the broadcast. What's got you humming today? What's nagging at you? Do you have a Bible question or a personal or family issue that you'd like to discuss? Well, the number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. And we want you to call right now because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, in fact, we do want you to call right now. So pick up that phone and dial in, and let's talk about the Lord Jesus. Let's talk about this good news. Let's talk about how it's relevant to our individual lives, how it's relevant to every single issue that we're going to encounter in life. And we would love to do that. So pick up that phone, 844-322-2742. We're talking about how to be close to God. And you know, there's all kinds of different ways that we come up with that we hope will get us closer to God. But none of those work. Why? Because we don't have what it takes to do the work to get us there. And we have a couple of passages today in Romans chapter 7 that really kind of fill in the detail on what I'm talking about. So starting in verse 7 of Romans chapter 7, Paul asks this, "What then shall we say?" So this was a question that he knew his skeptics were going to ask, and he was preparing for that. And so he just asked it beforehand. He says, "What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known what sin was." So sin gives us, or the law gives us, the definition of sin. We learn what sin is through the law. Said, "I would not known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. So we try to get close to God through obedience to the law. Yeah. We want to carry out those righteous requirements. We want to do what the law tells us to do. But here's what happens when we start down that path. Sin uses the law as an opportunity to deceive us and to capture us. And that's exactly what it says, that sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness." So the law says, do not covet. You read that, you listen to it, and then Satan and sin are saying to you, covet what? And then you start thinking of all the things that your neighbor has that you really want, and then that covetousness starts to bubble up inside of you. And we see that with other aspects of the law as well. So sin is out there, and sin is going to seize on any opportunity that it can, even the opportunity that the commandment affords it. So he says, "I once was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. And the very commandment that promised life proved to be death for me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me." So that's what happens when we try to draw close to God through obedience to the law. I want to live out those righteous requirements. Well, have at it, and here's what's going to take place. Sin is going to look at that as an opportunity. It is going to seize that opportunity. It is going to deceive you, and the end product is you're going to bear fruits of evil, bear the fruit of evil. And you're going to be stuck in what I like to call the Romans 7 trap. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do anyway. We've all been there, haven't
sure,
we?
Absolutely.
We've all done that. And when we get trapped right there in Romans 7, we certainly don't feel close to God. As a matter of fact, we feel like we're moving in exactly the opposite direction. Instead of drawing near to God, we're moving further and further and further away from God. So that's where we have to come to the point and say, hey, there's no way that I can be close to God apart from God himself drawing me near. And that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. The gospel draws us near to God and enables us to be close to Him, not only in location, the fact that the gospel places us in Christ Jesus, but also through relationship. So we are close to God on two different fronts. The law isn't going to provide that. Rules aren't going to provide that. Rituals aren't going to provide that. Spiritual disciplines will not draw you closer to God. The only way to be close to God is by grace through faith in Jesus. Yeah. That is the way, the only way. And if you have received the good news of Jesus Christ, guess what? You're as close to God as you will ever be.
Yes, indeed.
Talk about good news.
Talk about
that
good news.
That is good news.
It's the kind of news we talk about every day right here at Basic Gospel. And friends, I'm glad that you're here to hear it today. And we have open lines. You'd like to come in and be a part of the broadcast? Well, do it right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. And we'd like to know what's on your mind today. 844-322-2742. That's the number to call. And Bob, I know we're going to have a grace-filled time in mid-October as you and Andrew team up for an exciting Bible conference that we're calling United. You know, it's my belief that we will never actually plumb the depths of God's grace this side of heaven, but I got a pretty good idea that we're going to kind of take a deep dive October 15th, 16th,
yes,
and 17th into the grace of God right here in our ministry hometown as we get together for United. Bob, tell us more.
Well, Andrew and I have been talking about the teaching and what we're going to be bringing for those particular days, a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday. We're going to have 9 sessions, and we're going to talk about everything that unites us to Christ and then unites us one to another. I mean, we were saved individually, but then we were placed into the body of Christ. So we belong to Christ. We belong to one another. And we are really going to explore the depths of what that means to us in day-to-day life, as far as our relationship with the Lord is concerned, as far as our relationships one with another are concerned. So this is going to be just a powerful, powerful weekend. The gospel itself contains the power of God unto salvation. That power is going to be unleashed at this particular conference,
yeah.
So you don't want to miss it. Come and join us October 15th through the 17th right here in Lewisville, Texas. And Bob, you have all the information on how people can register.
Information and registration available. It's open right now for the conference. You can go to the basicgospel.net website and /united. That's basicgospel.net/united and join us for this very, very special event. Want to make you aware of this as well, that you need to make your plans as soon as possible, friends, because we've reserved a block of rooms at the conference hotel with very special rates just for you. And so we don't want that to expire before you have the opportunity to register. But that's going to happen midnight, September 30th. So don't miss that special arrangement for the conference starting 1 month from tomorrow, friends. Again, all the information is available at basicgospel.net/united. Well, we have open lines. Again, 844-322-2742. We'd love for you to fill them up right now. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. And, Bob, a question from a listener named Chuck. He says, is it wrong to drink beer? What about wine? Is there any limit other than respecting the holy temple that God has made for us?
Well, that's a good question. And certainly the issue of alcohol is an important question that we all need to wrestle with and come to terms as far as our own conclusions are concerned. A lot of times we make this a point of judgment, a point of legalism. If you're going to be a good Christian, then you can't drink. And boy, when you hear people say that, then like we just talked about in Romans 7, sin seizes an opportunity and you just want to drink all the, you know, more and more and more. But we have to look at it from a grace perspective. And as far as the grace of God is concerned, we are free. We are free to drink beer. We're free to drink wine. Certainly, we need to ask another question, is it wise for us to do so? And that's important. Is it wisdom? Is it wisdom from God? Are we going to put ourselves in bondage if we go down that path? Are we going to let alcohol control us as far as that is concerned? And Paul says, hey, I'm not going to let anything master me. I'm not going to let anything control me. So we have to put it, frame this whole question in those terms. Is it wise? Is it something that we will allow to control us in our day-to-day lives? And if that's the case, then we don't want to do it. We don't want to go down that path. Yeah. Christ has set us free. Let's enjoy that freedom. Let's enjoy that liberty. There's another aspect of it as well. What about the gospel for the sake of the gospel? Certainly there are people that will look at that and say, well, I thought you called yourself a Christian. So I think we need to adopt Paul's attitude in becoming all things to all people in the hopes of winning some to Jesus Christ. So what does that look like in day-to-day life? Well, to those who have a real issue with alcohol, with beer or wine or whatever it might be, you're going to choose not to drink when you're in their presence.
Don't present a stumbling block.
That's right, yeah. For the sake of the gospel. So we're operating by a higher law, the law of love. So if we'll just allow the law of love to kind of dictate our thinking and our attitudes and our decisions, we're going to be okay on all of those kind of gray area matters.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate hearing from Chuck, and it's a great topic, and I'm glad we had the opportunity to address it here on Basic Gospel. Once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. We'd love to hear from you Canucks, as well as those of you listening in the U.S. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Bob, I had this question from Jeff. He says, I was having a conversation with a friend about the baptism mentioned by Jesus at the Great Commission. He was saying that it's water baptism because Jesus commanded men to do it, and we cannot baptize with the Holy Spirit. I did not know how to counter this. Everyone I've talked with also agrees with him. Of course, I do go to a Baptist church, so I should not be surprised, he says. It seems strange that Jesus would command us to perform a ritual as part of teaching the gospel, a gospel that's all of him and none of us. It does not seem to fit. Please help me understand this.
Well, that's a great question, and Paul, I think, clarified the answer to that in his letter to the Corinthians. He said that God sent him to preach the gospel, not to baptize. And he was actually very glad that he had not baptized anybody there in the city of Corinth. And then he steps back and remembers, oh, yeah, I baptized Stephanas and Crispus and maybe one or two other people. But then he makes that point. God did not send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. And it's the gospel that identifies us with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's the gospel that immerses us into that relationship with them through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I think when Jesus was giving that great commission that he wanted the apostles to go out into the world, baptizing everyone and teaching them, and we forget about that part, as we go, and that's what that particular passage is saying, as they go through life, mm-hmm. then proclaim the good news of Jesus and let Jesus do his work, let the Spirit do his work of placing people into the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus speaks of baptism, you know, he said, John came and he baptized in water, but I'm going to baptize by the Spirit and by fire. So with the Spirit and with fire. So when Jesus is talking about his baptism, he's talking about spiritual baptism. And that's the baptism that saves. That's the baptism that identifies us with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we would love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. And the lines are wide open, and that's why they are wide open for you, friends. So give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Tiffany is watching us on our YouTube channel. Yeah. And she has this question: is it okay if I don't speak in tongues? Well, the answer to that is absolutely yes, that is okay. I've never spoken in tongues, Bob. I don't think you have either.
Not intentionally. Anyway.
That is a spiritual gift, and it is given at the discretion of God's Spirit. Not everybody has the same gift. Not everybody has the same gifting. We're all different members of the body of Christ, and God gifts us according to His desires, His intentions, for the purpose of building up the body of Christ so that we can carry out our work out there in the world. Now, I know there are many people who say you have to speak in tongues in order to be assured of your salvation. Well, that's just not true. There's no place in the Word of God that says that. Our assurance of salvation comes from the Spirit Himself, who bears witness with our human spirit that indeed we're children of God. So we read that in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. We also read in Galatians chapter 4 that God has given us the gift of the Spirit, and it is by Him that we cry out, Abba, Father. We also read in 1 John that John has written these things so that we can know that we have eternal life. And he says this testimony concerning the Son is now in our hearts, that in Him we have life. That's the testimony. So the Spirit does give us the assurance, but it's not through the practice of speaking in tongues. It's simply the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. So we, as far as tongues is concerned, again, that's a gift of the Spirit. We see it being exercised on the day of Pentecost. We see it being exercised at other times. And when we see it being exercised on those occasions in the book of Acts, it had a purpose. And that purpose was to bear witness to the apostles that indeed the Spirit of God had been given to a certain people group. So first the Jew. So the gospel always went first to the Jew. Paul said that time and time again, to the Jew first, then the Gentile. That's how he carried out his ministry. When he went into a new city, he would always go to the synagogue. He would go to the Jew first, then the Gentile. So we see that pattern in the book of Acts. So it was to the Jew first on the day of Pentecost. The gift of the Spirit was given. We see the apostles speaking in tongues there. That was a sign that indeed God's Spirit had come to the Jews. We see it in Samaria. We see it for the Gentiles as well. Well, Peter saw that, he witnessed that, and he could stand before the council at Jerusalem and say that God has given the Spirit to both Jew and Gentile, and that in doing so, he shows no favoritism. So there was a specific purpose for that gift of tongues back then on those particular occasions, and it gave Peter that authority to say, I have seen it with my eyes. I am a witness to what God has done. And here is what God has done. He gave the Jews the gift of the Spirit. He gave the Samaritans the gift of the Spirit. And he gave the Gentiles the gift of the Spirit. And that was made known to him through the speaking in tongues. But once that was done, and once Peter could stand before the Jerusalem council and say, all people, when they come to Christ by grace through faith, they're going to receive the gift of God's Spirit. So that had a purpose. It was time stamped. Now there's a gift of tongues that God can gift to somebody at His discretion for, I think, the purpose of being able to communicate the good news of Jesus in a foreign language, in a foreign tongue to the speaker, so that somebody can hear it and respond to it through faith. So, no, it's not a gift that everybody has. It's not a gift that provides us assurance of salvation. Our assurance is tied to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you're doubting, if you're struggling, look to the cross and recognize that Jesus took all your sins. If you are wondering, if you're alive, look to that empty tomb and realize that Jesus Christ is alive, and he is alive living in you. And give God glory. And thank him for that. And I guarantee you those doubts will go away, and you will stand confidently in who you are in Jesus and who Jesus is in you.
Absolutely. Tiffany, thanks for reaching out. Hope that's a good clarification for you. And if you have further questions, of course, don't hesitate to get back with us. We love hearing from you and all of our listeners. And friends, don't forget that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported broadcast, and we need your help on an ongoing basis to continue to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love and grace. And you can go online anytime at basicgospel.net and click that big, broad, prominent donate link right there on the homepage. We would love for you to partner with us. Again, you can do that at basicgospel.net anytime, day or night. And as I said, we would love for you to partner with us. You know, friends, if it hadn't been for so many of you, we would not have reached out to all the way to New Zealand to reach the ears of a listener called Jesus. And he wrote us had a question. Bobby says, please help me understand this. Last Sunday, we had a communion service in our church, having a non-Christian tagging along with me as he has shown interest in coming. I asked if he would like to experience this practice and that I would explain to him later what it meant. Unfortunately, he got hold of the bread and wine as it was, and it was taken away by one of the ushers, and her exact words were, "This is for Christians only." I was taken aback and even dumbfounded that it looks like Christianity is an exclusive club. Was she right in her action? Please enlighten me.
Well, Christianity is an exclusive club. Only those who have come to Jesus by grace through faith are members of the body of Christ. So God looks at this world and he sees the lost and he sees the saved. He sees those who are dead in trespasses and sins, and he sees those who are now alive in Jesus Christ. And these sacraments that we participate in and celebrate are celebrations of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. So somebody who is celebrating their new birth in Christ through baptism, they're doing so as a believer. And those who are gathered around and watch that, they celebrate with them because they're believers as well. Now, somebody who is lost and dead in sin can see that, and I think it will be an encouragement to them to take a deeper look at the gospel. As far as the Lord's Supper is concerned, we celebrate Christ's death on our behalf. And again, it could be a wonderful evangelistic tool for people who are lost, who can look at that and say, hey, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the body of Christ. I want to receive what Christ has accomplished for me. I want to receive the reconciliation that he provided through his death on the cross. So these things that we do as believers can be great tools for evangelism to the lost. So knowing that, we need to be very careful on how we present them. So somebody coming up and taking the bread and the cup out of somebody's hands and saying, hey, that's not for you, that's a little off-putting.
Yes,
for sure. So we need to be very careful in how we handle these things and to present them as true celebrations of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and use them as invitations to those who are lost to come and join us and be a part of this fellowship of believers.
Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. And again, thank you for all your support. We love reaching out literally around the world with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love and grace. So donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net and help us keep the message going. If you have questions after we're off the air, a good time to call the listener line. It's there for you. Just leave us a voicemail. Your question or concern will be discussed on the Basic Gospel program, and you can hear it right here. That number, 844-322-2742, and it's is open 24 hours a day for you, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.